I'm very happy now to welcome Sandy Ault. She is a mystery writer. Her latest book is called Wild Penance. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you. And I always try to say welcome back to the series because it's the fourth book.
It's the fourth book, but it we're going back in time.
Isn't that interesting?
So all of the mysteries are called Wild Something, Wild Penance, Wild Sorrow, Wild Inferno. And we've talked about, I think, most or all of them on this program. You're very prolific, coming out with a book every year or two. And Jamaica Wild is our heroine, whom we have come to love. But you have chosen to, what would you call it, a kind of a prequel to the other books?
Yes, it's definitely a prequel. You know, I've threaded a lot of background about Jamaica in the series as I went along because I actually wrote and sold this book first, but then through a series of really quirky coincidences, it never actually came out on the bookshelves. My editor had a heart attack, and it just didn't get shepherded clear through to publication. But, you know, I was paid in advance. The book was sold to a major publisher. And then when I learned it wasn't actually going to make it to the bookshelves, I just wanted to stick my head in the oven. But fortunately, I didn't. I went ahead and wrote another book, which was Wild Indigo, the first book published in the series. And I let my editor know when we went back to the negotiating table that there was another book and that I would be willing to buy back the publication rights if she would bring it out. And we decided to bring it out forth.
That's so interesting. I've heard many times that an author's first novel isn't really their first novel, and that was the case with you.
Yeah, definitely. And I wrote a novel in between there, too, that had nothing to do with Jamaica. And I think it was one of my best pieces of work, but I couldn't give it away free. You know, with money packed inside. So who knows what's going to, you know, hit a nerve.
So Jamaica Wild is a BLM worker, and she's a tough character and a very amiable person. We get to know her. I hope you keep writing these. And at the very beginning of the book, she is jogging at sunrise, as she does, and she's by the Rio Grande Gorge Bridge in Taos, which probably many of our listeners know. And she sees something which she can't even believe her own eyes, which is somebody being thrown off the bridge on a cross, basically a crucified person being thrown off the Rio Grande Bridge. And that leads to a whole mystery based on the phenomenon, the real phenomenon of the penitentes of northern New Mexico.
I know, and you know, so few people in the United States realize that the penitentes, this wonderful penitent, compassionate brotherhood and their sister hermanas is a living culture in northern New Mexico and southern Colorado. I mean, people think you make this up, but I don't think you could make anything quite as wild up as the penitentes.
How did you research this material? I mean, certainly there's a lot of secrecy to this day surrounding the penitentes.
You know, there is to this day, but less so than there was when I was doing my research. When I did the research for this book, it was mid-90s, and I was literally chased out of Abiquiú by people bearing sticks and rakes and things because I was photographing the morada and some of their huge crosses that they carry in penitence. But I was just fascinated. I saw a penitente procession when I was there visiting New Mexico when I lived in Kansas City. And it was, for me, a little like watching a train wreck. I was kind of horrified, and blood was spattering in the snow, and I'd never seen anything like it, but I couldn't take my eyes off it. I was riveted, and I wanted to know more, much the same as Jamaica does in the book. And soon I learned that this was this kind of selfless, compassionate penitence, this willingness to suffer was a you know, kind of gift to their communities, to their families, and to the world that emulated what they believed was Christ's suffering, that if they suffered, they were sort of bartering us all out of sin redeeming us from the potential consequences of our sins. And I thought, you know, it seems barbaric, but it's ultimately a really beautiful, compassionate thing that they do. It's a lot, in a way, like volunteering to go to a disaster and help people. You know, it's one of those selfless things that people do, and I'm amazed at the penitentes. And I grew to love and respect them.
Now, have they been, I mean, it seems that there's almost no area that hasn't been touched by anthropologists. Are there people from within who have studied and written about the Penitentes since you wrote this book?
In the past 5-6 years, about a dozen really good scholarly books have come out. And one of the best books is not so much a scholarly one, but it's a very authentic one. It's by Marta Weigel. But there have been some really good books come out lately. And one of the reasons is because, A, some of the penitentes are writing. Like recently, a book was published by a penitente that, you know, practiced in southern Colorado and literally listed all the members of all the existing moradas by name. You know, that's just unheard of in the past. It used to be such a secret brotherhood. But I think when their numbers started to dwindle and there were nothing but elders left, they decided they needed to open up and talk about what they were doing, why they were doing it, and inviting members of the community to take part.
Is it a dying order, so to speak?
You know, I think it probably is, but there are still some thriving moradas that have taken on some new members and even have permitted women to become hermanos. I know you would say hermanas, but they call them hermanos. So, you know, we'll see if they can keep it alive. I always feel like I'm writing as fast as I can to capture the vanishing West anyway. You know, I think we still have a living Native American culture, but it's so rapidly changing. It's good to capture it while we still have it in its form that it's in today. I think the same is true of the Penitentes.
And to do it in the form of a mystery novel, I don't want to give away too much of it because, of course, it's always fun to read, and it's riveting and scary, and of course, I always wonder how much Jamaica Wild is based on some of your own experiences or your own character. But she goes through her ups and downs and death threats and things like that. But to keep these sets of cultures alive in the form of fiction and in the form of a mystery makes it really fun. It makes it really accessible to people who aren't going to be reading anthropology books.
I would hope so. I mean, I'm an avid researcher, but I realize everyone else's bookshelf isn't just covered with anthropology, sociology, and so on. So, yeah, it's a great way to convey it.
Sandy Ault is a mystery writer. Her latest book is called Wild Penance. And she will be speaking on, let's see, Friday, February 19th at 2 in the afternoon at Moby Dickens Bookstore in Taos, New Mexico. And then the next day, Saturday, at an open house in Albuquerque at Treasure House Books. I hope you make it to Santa Fe one of these days, too.
I know. I was there for the last three books, but for some reason we just didn't get a booking there this time. I think there was a mix-up with schedules. You know, but I am just delighted to be in Taos for the first time. That's where my series is set.
Exactly.
And this is a good book to do it with because the previous three books really featured more on the native Puebloans. And, you know, there's a Pueblo there at Taos, and maybe that's not the best place to sign a book that a white girl has written about the Puebloans. But I'm excited to take Wild Penance to Taos.
Sandy Ault, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks very much, Mary Charlotte. Have a great day.
You too. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz.